Welcome to the Jacksonville Today Reporter's Notebook. I'm Jessica Palumbo, and this is the show where we take you into our newsroom for a look behind the curtain at what it takes to bring you deeply sourced local reporting. You know him as the host of this show, typically. Mike Mendenhall is here as our guest today. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jessica.
Mike also is our City Hall beat reporter here at Jacksonville Today. And Mike and I were chatting the other day about a huge list of things that he is planning to keep an eye on when it comes to City Hall in Jacksonville. And I said, hey, let's talk about it on this week's podcast. So here we are. Mike, you have a full plate ahead of you. You've been following City Council, the first meeting of the year last night, as we're sitting here recording this today. And what's on your list?
Yeah, in addition to City Hall, I also cover a little bit of what's going on in Tallahassee. So property tax reform is going to be a big deal this year, not just statewide, but also here in Jacksonville. Whatever the legislature decides on how to cut property taxes, if to cut property taxes, when to cut property taxes, it's going to have an impact on city government because the city, they fund a lot of their essential services with property tax revenue. If they have less of that money coming in, the city leaders are going to have some big decisions to make, and they're going to have to take a strong look at their budget and figure out either how to make up that revenue in other ways or make cuts. And the city's got to fund police. They have to fund fire. They have to fund roads and bridges. But there's a lot of other programs that the city pays for that people may not realize, you know, that they're there until they're gone.
Of course, if that happens, it could have a potential impact on Jacksonville, but there would be a couple of steps that have to happen before anything happens, because this is a priority for Governor Ron DeSantis in Tallahassee. He's asked the legislature to pass something related to property tax reform this year. If that happens, what happens next, Mike?
So first of all, you have to get the House and the Senate to agree. Like, they have to agree on a package and get it to the governor's desk. But then any change in property taxes in the state of Florida has to go before the voters. There has to be a voter referendum. So at least 60% of voters have to say yes to make that a constitutional amendment to either reduce property taxes or to eliminate property taxes. The state officials are leaning towards homestead property taxes. So it'd just be on people's primary homes, not related to school district funding, which also receives property taxes. But even after an amendment was passed, more than likely there'd be a phase-in period because a lot of these state legislators would be really skittish on just pulling the rug out from underneath cities and counties immediately. There'd be a runway where there'd be some time for cities and counties to do some budget planning if they lost that money.
So as you say, this is something that in the mayor's office right now in City Hall, people are keeping an eye on to see what happens, what might be coming down the road for Jacksonville. Let's shift our focus now into that building. What are you watching when it comes to City Council and to some of these other local agencies this year?
So I have always kept a close eye on downtown development, particularly the Downtown Investment Authority. They're responsible for any type of investment that goes into developing downtown. Jacksonville has seen a flurry of development projects from apartments and restaurants and the new stadium for the Jacksonville Jaguars in recent years. So people are feeling like, okay, we got some momentum. We're moving along. The new CEO of the Downtown Investment Authority wants to continue to see the city to invest and aid these private developers who might be interested in developing in Jacksonville, but just don't think the numbers quite maybe work for some of these projects yet. The city wants to make sure that they continue to bring those projects in. But the city council is starting to get a little skittish on giving out cash investment. They want to see incentives more in the terms of property tax rebates, which don't cost the city any actual dollars. That's basically a reduction in what these businesses would pay once they start paying property taxes here in town. So there's a difference of opinion there. And so I think that you're going to see some pushback, particularly on some of these high profile projects that the Downtown Investment Authority and the mayor's office really want to see done. The developers say, we need cash incentives. We need completion grants to get these things done. So I'm really watching how the dynamic between the new CEO of the DIA and the city council is going to play out.
That's an interesting tension. When you start to see success downtown in the development, people start to ask the question of how much are these incentives actually needed to keep the momentum going? Maybe it can sustain itself without as much public investment.
Yeah, and there's a reason for the city council's trepidation. You're going to start to see some leaner years. They're projecting some budget deficits if they keep spending at the same level. So there's a reason for the concern. But leaders are going to have to balance, okay, do we want to lose this momentum? Do we want to slow down this momentum in order to make sure that we can continue our low tax environment and continue to spend our money on essential services?
Speaking of deficits, we are going into another year, and that means another City Council budget season eventually will be upon us this summer. So when that happens, what are you watching for?
I mean, you really can call this possibly a budget battle 2.0. Last year, we saw a really tense budget battle between the City Council and the mayor's office on some maybe lower dollar spending priorities in the grand scheme of the full $1 billion plus dollar city budget, or almost $2 billion, pardon me, almost $2 billion city budget. But like I was saying before, there's possible deficits coming along. So the City Council is going to need to see where they need to cut. And so I think you're going to see another round of back and forth between the mayor's office and the City Council leadership on how to cut that budget. Also, too, we have a mayoral election coming up in 2027, which totally plays into this. You have a few members of City Council who you read the tea leaves. They're looking at possibly running for the mayor's office. You hear the name of Councilmember Ron Salem thrown around a little bit. Councilmember Rory Diamond's been considering higher office for a few years. They are key voices on the City Council on the Republican side. They could possibly be a challenger for Mayor Deegan. And the budget debate is really high profile. It's a place where those council members can kind of stake their claim and stake their reputation.
Mayor Donna Deegan, of course, also signaling strongly she will be running again and wants to keep her seat at City Hall.
Absolutely. And I think that all told, a lot of political observers in town say that she's well positioned to do it. That they're saying that she's raised a lot of money. She's already been consolidating support amongst donors. But then also, too, she just had an event the other day with former Mayor John Payton. Showing those kind of abilities for her to continue to work across the aisle, I think, is also going to become important for her as the mayoral election or mayoral campaign moves forward.
And that's in 2027, that race. So we're just at the starting line there.
Yep. But you'll be seeing announcements later this year, more than likely, for people that are considering challenging the mayor.
One last thing on the list I wanted to ask you about, Mike, is affordable housing. There has been a conversation in town about public investment in making sure that more affordable housing is built. What is this, a land trust? What does that mean? Where's the status of that conversation?
So a few years back, the city of Jacksonville created this quasi-private entity to basically inventory all of the available public land that was undeveloped, untouched, and to see, could we possibly use this land to build affordable housing? Whether it be multifamily affordable housing, or what people really would like to see is more single family owner occupied homes, that making them available for people who typically wouldn't be able to afford that in the traditional marketplace. That has been a slow process. You are still seeing the City Council continuing to inventory land they have, but there hasn't been a lot said about it. There have been other ideas popped up about public-private partnerships with other affordable housing trust funds that conversations have, but it's still just something that hasn't quite materialized into something solid. You have all of these kind of plans that are still in the works, but nothing has quite formulated. Now, you will, if you ask the City Council members, they'll say, look, we do a lot of affordable housing in town through our bonding process, working with the Jacksonville Housing Authority to try to make some of these projects possible. They'll tell you that we already do a lot of affordable housing. And there is some truth to that, too. The City Council does use their borrowing power to help entities get loans for affordable housing developments. But the people in the community would like to see the city be more involved in that financing, but then also in the actual development process.
As we hear from our readers, affordable housing will continue to be an issue that is of great importance to people in town. So I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more from you on that this year.
Most definitely.
And you can find all of Mike's reporting at jackstoday.org. Subscribe to the Daily Jacksonville Today newsletter as well to be the first to read anything that we report. Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jessica. Appreciate you stepping in.
And thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week.